Good afternoon. I'm Pablo Peña with your state and local news update. Major flooding on the Taku River near Juneau is underway after a glacial dam release dumped even more water into an already swollen river. Increased snowmelt from recent heavy rains and warm temperatures pushed the Taku River above minor flood stage on Sunday morning. Water behind a glacial dam entered the river on Tuesday from the Taku River's headwaters high in the Juneau ice field. There have been other glacial dam releases around the region, including into the Mendenhall River in Juneau and the Salmon River near Hyder. Aaron Jacobs with the National Weather Service in Juneau says this kind of melt is ahead of schedule.
It seems like this year the glacial dam releases are happening a little bit earlier than we've seen in the past.
By 9 a.m. on Wednesday this morning, the Taku River gauge showed the river at nearly 45.5 feet. That has already broken the record of 45 feet set in June 2004. Latest projections call for the Taku River to crest at over 46 feet late Wednesday or early Thursday. The flood warning is in effect until Sunday. Colder temperatures on the river mean an increased risk of hypothermia if someone falls in. Cabin and homeowners along the river should brace for possible damage, and boaters should watch carefully for ice, trees, and other debris. Jacobs says most transboundary rivers in the region are already swollen with melting of the snowpack, which is as much as twice the average. After the glacial dam release ends, he says the Taku River may continue running at about minor flood levels until most snow has melted. In other news, employees of the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium must be vaccinated for COVID by June 30th or risk losing their jobs. That's June 30th. That's today. The Tribal Health Consortium operates hospitals in Sitka and Wrangell and clinics in Haines and Juneau and many smaller communities throughout Southeast. CERTS, staff, and contractors were notified of the policy in late May. KCAW's Catherine Rose reports.
According to the policy, all CERTS employees must receive their first shot or single-dose coronavirus vaccine by June 30th. Those opting for a two-dose vaccine must receive the second shot by July 31st. It's in step with a growing trend. In recent weeks, hospitals across the country have begun mandating COVID-19 vaccinations for employees. In an email to all CERTS staff and contractors dated May 24th, Chief Medical Officer Dr. Elliot Brule wrote, quote, "The health of our patients and communities is our top priority and an ongoing concern with the pandemic." And, quote, "Similar to our policy for employees and contractors being vaccinated for influenza, it will now be required for our consortium staff, external providers, students, and contractors to have their COVID-19 vaccine. Employees who choose not to be vaccinated will be considered voluntarily separated from employment with CERTS. Those who wish to opt out can follow CERTS's standard policy for medical and religious exemptions. Those who are pregnant or breastfeeding, have a history of anaphylaxis or allergy to the vaccine, or oppose vaccinations based on religious grounds may choose to opt out, but they must provide documentation and receive a formal exception. KCAW reached out to Dr. Brule and CERTS personnel for comment. CERTS is Sitka's primary health provider and has been instrumental in getting the majority of Sitkans vaccinated quickly this spring. 71% of Sitka's eligible population has received at least one dose of vaccine, according to city data. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
In other Southeast news, police in Wrangell were recently equipped with body cameras that log an officer's interactions with the public. It joins departments in larger cities like Juneau and Ketchikan, which have body cams as standard issue. KSTK's Sage Smiley has this report.
It's 1:15 on a Sunday morning, and the red and blue lights of a Wrangell police cruiser are flashing. Officer Yuri Bezabenko has just made what appears to be a routine traffic stop of a pickup truck with passengers riding in the back. He picks up the radio from the dashboard to call in the traffic stop, then double taps a device on his chest, which activates the body cam's microphone.
10-4.
Hey guys, are there seat belts attached to that truck bed?
For the next 20 or so minutes, the traffic stop proceeds like any other, just viewed from the chest level perspective of Officer Bezabenko.
Do you mind if I see your license, registration, and proof of insurance, please?
It's the first footage released by Wrangell's police department from their new body-worn cameras. KSDK requested the footage on June 17th through a public records request. It was delivered 8 days later. The 7 new body cameras were purchased using about $35,000 of federal pandemic relief. They're made by Axon, a company that also makes tasers and other law enforcement tech. A good chunk of the money went towards paying for 5 years of secure cloud storage for body cam footage. Police Chief Tom Radke requested the purchase last year.
It's another tool that you know, is in the law enforcement toolbox that we want to be transparent with people. We want to be upfront with people. And this is just a way to accomplish that.
Wrangell's Assembly approved the department's body cam policies in mid-June with little fanfare. The policy is fairly clear-cut. Officers should wear the camera while in uniform and record most interactions with the public. If an interaction isn't recorded, there has to be clear justification for why it wasn't. The cameras upload footage automatically to the storage site. If the footage is evidence in a criminal case, it has to be stored for at least 10 years. Recordings that aren't evidence will be stored by the department for 90 days. Police body-worn camera footage is public record in the same way that other police records are public. Evidence that's being used in an ongoing investigation wouldn't be released until after the investigation is complete. The department's body cam policies don't lay out clear standards for what will and won't be publicly released. Radke says it will be a case-by-case consideration for himself and other Wrangell officials. He wants to be timely, but also fair.
We want to be as transparent, as fast and as transparent as we can be, with also affording the rights of those that are being accused.
And he says he worries about fueling the small-town rumor mill.
One of my biggest fears is, you know, there's something that happened over at the Johnson's house, and somehow, just because you're the nosy neighbor five doors down, you come in here and want to get into the Johnson's business. Do you know what I'm saying?
Protecting privacy is important to Radke, as the department smooths the wrinkles in its body camera policies. For example, in the footage released to KSDK, the audio cuts for a few seconds to mute identifying information of the driver. Radke says there's also an option to put a black box over something like a license to protect people's privacy. But officers don't have the option to edit footage by removing a few seconds here or there. That's part of the function of off-site storage. The cloud storage also logs every time someone looks at the footage. Radke says the policies could shift slightly as the department learns more about everyday use of the cameras.
These are set in stone, but they're not set in stone. Do you know what I'm saying? As far as we might have to add some things to them that we just didn't anticipate.
Radke says there haven't been issues with the rollout of the body cams yet, although some officers are still figuring out what sort of holster and chest placement works best for them.
A lot of people, a good percentage of the people, I don't think will even see them. You know, they're dark colored. They blend in with the uniform.
Radke adds the police department is planning on holding community engagement events to educate Wrangell and take input about body-worn cameras. But those haven't been scheduled yet. In Wrangell, I'm Sage Smiley.
Now to Anchorage, where a new mayor takes the reins of Alaska's largest city on Thursday. Dave Bronson will be officially sworn in at a breakfast ceremony at 8 a.m. Proceeds from the event will be donated to Beans Cafe, the city's largest soup kitchen. An estimated 500 people will attend the event, according to a spokesperson. There will be a public ceremony at the Park Strip from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. There will be music from the country band Six Wire and other entertainment. The event is free and was paid for with private donations. Outgoing Mayor Austin Quinn Davidson will return to the Anchorage Assembly, where she represents Midtown. And a nonprofit advocacy group for African Americans will use a roughly $1.2 million federal grant to conduct the first statewide report on the health status of Black Alaskans. Celeste Hodge Groudon, president of the Alaska Black Caucus, tells Alaska Public Media that with the report, they will be able to make recommendations to local and state entities regarding best practices in health-related data collection and reporting by race. Existing data shows Black Alaskans are less likely to be vaccinated against COVID-19. The group will also use the money for roundtable discussions, a summit for Black Alaskans, and a health fair for people of color. In other news, an Alaska state legislator shared on social media a post that likened members of the media and medical professionals who provide information about COVID-19 vaccines to Nazis who were executed for war crimes, but the Soldotna Republican says he meant nothing by it. Representative Ron Gillum told the Peninsula Clarion, "It was one of the things that comes around and you just send it around." Gillum was elected in November to a House seat that had been held by Gary Knopp, who died in a plane crash Last summer, Gilham told Alaska Public Media earlier this year he would not get a COVID-19 vaccine. For more on this and other news stories, you can go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.